Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This comes from our guy, Matt McMullen, just 12 minutes ago on X. Over the last three games, the Chiefs are averaging 31.7 points and 404.3 yards per game. Pretty good.
Wow.
I'd say something's gelling, and I think it's that offensive line. And Patrick Mahomes is getting confidence, and that's a...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Scary situation for a lot of you out there.
Yeah, it is. It's also a scary situation now that they're feeling it, too.
Yep. This is also from Sam McDowell. Since Patrick Mahomes took over in Kansas City, the Chiefs have faced 4th and 3+ inside the 30-yard line some 86 times in the first half of a game. They'd trotted out the field goal unit 86 times.
Wow.
Until last night.
Wow. See, this is what I'm talking about when I tell you it's having an impact on everything that they do. This comes from Chris Kleiman's kid, Dove. 23% of the NFL's missed extra point attempts this year have come from Harrison Butker.
There is an issue. Yeah.
No, it's a problem.
There is an issue.
It's a big problem.
Because I don't know about you guys. When they went for it on that first 4th down, right? They didn't get it, if I'm correct, right?
I don't know if that was the first or second, but I think you're correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
To Pacheco.
So then immediately I'm thinking they're now -4 points because normally they would just kick a field goal in that situation, get the game tied if you had made the extra point. So at that time it was 10-6, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm thinking to myself, man, we've already left 4 points on the field. It should be a tie game. I'm starting to do the gymnastics and the somersaults in my head about the missed points and all this kind of stuff. And then you just gave the best possible argument or backup for the argument that I've had impact on the way everybody else is approaching games. Can you read that one again, please?
From Sam McDowell, since Patrick Mahomes took over in Kansas City, the Chiefs have faced 4th and 3+ inside the 30-yard line some 86 times in the first half of a game. They trotted out a field goal unit 86 times until last night. And then he finished it off saying, a new day in Kansas City sparked the biggest win of the year.
Yeah. And you know, maybe him, you know, missing field goals has changed the way Andy is approaching games now, too, and feels like he has to go into full throttle mode because you're playing right now, essentially, in my opinion, like you don't have a kicker. And that's the way they played last night. And that was a great approach, guys.
I don't hate it, dude.
But also, too, now
is it a blessing in disguise?
I think it might be.
To make Andy more aggressive?
Yeah, maybe. Now, you did play against a weakened defense last night, so you did have that ability, you know, maybe a full-strength defense.
And an aggressive coach.
And an aggressive coach, and maybe that changed it up. But the numbers are there right now.
Yeah.
23% of the extra points missed this year are Harrison Butker, and now they're doing things that they've never, ever, ever done before because of the kicker and the way that he's not coming through. So it does have a direct impact on games that you're calling, plays that you're calling, players that are in their situations, everything right now. And maybe there's a situation too, even on defense, where Spags is like, I'm going to dial up this blitz. And Andy's like, don't do that, because in case we get beat, we don't have the kicker. And so now that factors into the defensive side as well. There are just so many trickle down effects that this guy's poor performance right now is having on everybody.
Would you say that's the biggest issue on this team?
A defensive line against the run was pretty weak on that first drive. They settled in nicely after that, I thought. But to me...
Yeah, I think they were great against the run for the rest of the night.
After that first drive, they settled in immensely and played great, I thought. But that's just who they are on the first... Yeah, I think for me it is kicker. I mean, margins are so slim in this league, guys. You know how it is. You guys are all betting on games. You know how close these margins are.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. I think something that we've seen that's been impressive for the Kansas City Chiefs in the last couple of weeks is the spreading of the ball from Patrick Mahomes. I think there's a lot of things that go into this, because I look at the Chiefs and I think of them as a sitcom show, right? You look at Friends, for an example. I think the Chiefs are a lot like Friends. There's a reason why Friends and shows like Seinfeld and The Office are constantly on loop, and you can just pick up and watch season 6, episode 5 of whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a supporting cast that you like to watch. It's not just driven on one character, as in Breaking Bad. For most of the episodes, it's what's Walter going to do? I have to pay attention to Walter White, and you kind of lose track of what's going on in the show because you're wanting to know what his next move is, whereas like you watch a show with Friends, and it's Ross, it's Rachel, it's Chandler, it's Monica, it's Phoebe. Every week is different, right? Every episode is somebody else getting into a predicament that, you know, maybe this week it's a Ross episode, or maybe next week it's a Rachel episode. Or in Seinfeld, it's a Kramer episode where he's got to swim across the Hudson. Kind of like the Chiefs offense, right? The Chiefs offense is a sitcom. And sure, in the shows like The Office, you have your Dwights and you have your Michael Scotts, you have your Kelseys and you have your Mahomes. You know they're going to be there, but they're not going to make you fully focus just on them. You're going to watch other characters, right? When you watch this Chiefs offense, the way they roll things out and the way they spread the ball around and the unit that they have started to gel in their offensive line, you kind of are starting to kind of get that feel. You know, one week it's Tyquan Thornton. Next week it's Juju Smith-Schuster. Last night, Travis Kelce, 7 for 70. And you look at Hollywood Brown's performance. Oh, there was that moment where Monica put the turkey on her head. Oh, last night, Hollywood Brown put the football in his hands when it mattered. 2 touchdowns on 4 receptions for 50 yards or 40 yards, whatever it may have been.
What an efficient night.
The Chiefs just really do that. And last night, Mahomes threw it to 8 different receivers. The week before, Mahomes threw it to 9 different wide receivers. This team is entertaining from that aspect, because it's not every week you're like, all right, what are Burrow and Chase going to do? Or what are Josh Allen and, you know, Cook going to do for Buffalo tonight? This is a game in which you watch this and you're like, I'm going to be surprised by an individual performance, but I don't know who it's going to be. Is it going to be Juju Smith-Schuster catching the ball inside an insanely tight window by Patrick Mahomes and ripping off 40 yards? Is it going to be Noah Gray catching a couple of big passes on second and long? Or is it going to be Kareem Hunt bodying somebody through the middle and be like, oh yeah, there's Kareem Hunt. Oh yeah, there's Newman. Oh yeah, there's Meredith. It's something like that. The Chiefs just kind of seem like now they're like a sitcom, whereas before they were driven on 3 guys on offense when it was Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes. Now Mahomes gets to sit back and he's like, which character is going to take the lead tonight? I don't know which one. I'm going to let it play out, and I guarantee you we're going to make it work. 8 targets to different guys last night, 9 the week before. This team is a lot like a sitcom that you can just watch on loop, and it doesn't matter what quarter it is, it's going to be somebody different.
And the depth that they have is just great. So you're able to do stuff like that. Like, those are the best sitcoms. And there's no secret. I watch sitcoms a lot from the 80s, right?
Look at Cheers.
And I watch them for character development, so I can kind of incorporate it into this, what we do. How do we use Mac the best? How do we use you the best? How do we use me the best? How do we use our round table the best? The ancillary people. How do we mock Spectre the best? Like, it all matters, you know, in factoring it into the bigness, if you will, of a show. And that's what the Chiefs are right now. They are a big, big, big time television show where everybody sits down and everybody's paying attention, and you don't know what character that show is going to be focused on that night. And if we don't know that, how do you feel these defenses are right now, too, trying to figure out who's going to be the guy tonight? Is this a Kramer episode? Is this a Monica episode? Is this a Sam episode? Is this, you know, whatever show it is, who's going to be the star? And just when you think somebody else is going to be the star, boom, you get that, you know, Kramer flies in and slams the door, or Joey does something stupid, and you're like, oh, my God, that was the guy that this show was all about the entire time, and you don't recognize it till it's too late or till it's the end. And that's the beauty that they have. They are a better football team right now from 1 to 53, maybe during this entire run that we have seen, both offensively and defensively, from top to bottom, from all the weapons collectively. This may be the best roster that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have had during this run.
And sometimes one of those characters comes back and you hear the applaud from the crowd, whether there's a sign that says applaud now or not, and that character coming in to open the door like a Kramer is number four, Rashee Rice, as he joins this offensive cast of characters that can absolutely take over this league. As we read you some numbers earlier, the points they're averaging, the yards they're averaging the last 3 weeks, it seems like everything is starting to hit stride at the right moment when a lot of teams are starting to get a lot of injury bugs as well. The Chiefs are not only getting stronger, they're getting stronger at the right time, because buckle up, fellas. There's 3 weeks until the bye. You get those ugly-ass Raiders that come in town next week at noon. You get another late one against the Commanders, and then you go to Buffalo one last time in that ballpark to see if you can handle them in a regular season game and send them off packing and crying.
Yep.
And really take advantage of what could be the number one seed in the NFL. That's right. The Chiefs are back to 3-3, and look out. They're only going to get better. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Is this juice?
This is the juice, bro.
I love the juice.
Dude, the juice is...
The juice is loose. Can you still say that?
So, funny story.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
My daughter texts me the other day. She goes, so-and-so doesn't know who O.J. Simpson is. I'm like, oh, well, she's about 15, 16 years old. Your age, yeah. I mean, O.J. was out of jail by the time, you know, you guys were born in high school and whatnot. So, I'm surprised you didn't know. I shouldn't say I'm surprised. I'm not surprised is what I'm saying. That somebody who's 15 or 16 years old really didn't have much of a clue who OJ is.
It's weird to hear, but then you think about it, you're like, oh, I guess that kind of makes sense. I mean, I was even on the tail end of knowing all that stuff,
exactly. I mean, you know, so, I mean, my daughter knows it just because, well, it's part of the, you know, our house. We talk about it a lot. I mean, you know, we've been to L.A. We've talked to them about everything that went on. I mean, it was something was one of the most insane things that we've ever experienced in our lives. I mean, it was one of the most unbelievable things. That, you know, we didn't have social media back then, and everything was done via television, and everybody watched. It was like everybody was must-see TV with what was going on with O.J. Simpson. So, and he was such a pop culture icon as well. I feel bad for Tez Johnson today of the Buccaneers. I'm really, really, really sad for him. He caught that great touchdown pass yesterday, and the chance of MVP went going crazy at Raymond James Stadium. He thought they were for him. Aww.
That's cute.
I'm really sad for him. Like, this guy made this great catch.
Awesome.
What a dime by Baker as well, but the catch was even better. They win the game. He gets up the MVP chance, and he thinks it's for him. I mean, that's cute. It really is.
It is.
I mean,
it is.
They meant Baker, not me.
Damn it. You know what? Think that, though. Hey, live in that world, right, where you're the MVP as a no-name wide receiver. I love that.
Yeah.
That's the confidence I want in my wide receiver,
from
man.
From no-name to number one waiver wire edition.
Is he the number one edition this week?
Probably will be.
Throw the ball to in Tampa.
Good point.
Yeah. No, Big Boo. Yeah.
Would you trade – let me just throw this right now at you. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Tyquan Thornton to Tampa for Vita Vey.
Yes, in a heartbeat. I wouldn't even think about it.
Yeah, I'd consider that.
Because they need a wide receiver.
They do. No,
I want to, but I'm just throwing that out there. As he said, he's the number one. Who else are they going to throw to? I'm like, well, Tampa may be in the market for a wide receiver.
No, it's not a bad idea.
We got a lot of wide receivers here. I know Vita Vey had that terrible roughing the punter penalty yesterday.
It was.
But, I mean,
I don't know if they get rid of him with the issues they have, too. But, yeah, I would like that. That's the type of player that this team needs to start looking into. Not exactly the pass rusher I'd want, but a guy up front that could at least.
I'm thinking of stopping the run guy. Like, I need a massive human being right there.
Him next to Chris Johnson, that's insane.
Yeah, because the Bucks yesterday lost.
Emeka Ekpegbu.
Yeah, exactly.
Hamstring injury, which is going to set.
Emeka Ekpegbu.
It's going to set him back a little bit just because Stinks. They say it's not going to be a long term. At least they're optimistic about that. We know how hamstrings are. They're fickle. And it's unfortunate because
Emeka Ekpegbu
was balling all year. And now, yeah, I mean, you got to look at where your strengths are. It's like kind of the Royals. You know, hey, we got all the starting pitching, but it's like, wait a minute. We have been
great
somewhat
analogy.
Kind of blessed that we have these wide receivers that haven't got massively hurt. Obviously, Xavier Worthy missed a couple of games. He's still kind of ginger on that ankle. And you're just now getting Rashee Rice back. I'm on the side of, like, stay loaded until you don't have to because I think that the defensive line needs
Memo
help.
Memo for the weekend.
Yeah. Mac might think the running back needs help.
Yeah, I think it's weird. Like, I've been trying to find a way to verbalize this. I would think the defensive line is worse than the running back room right now. Like, I have more concern maybe with the front four pass rush. But I think the Chiefs should prioritize going out to get a running back more than a defensive lineman right now because of the domino effect it's having on Patrick Mahomes. Bob, you've talked about the domino effect Harrison Butker's had on the play calling and the decision making, the need to be aggressive on offense and on fourth down. I think that's similar with Mahomes and his usage in running the ball and lowering his shoulder and taking hits. Part of that is I think he thinks he has to be the ground game right now because he doesn't have anything consistent. He was leading that game in rushing for the Chiefs until the last drive, until they took over and had, I wouldn't call it garbage time, but until they sealed the game with their running backs. He was leading the game. It would have been his fourth time leading the Chiefs in yards on the ground. I think that he's putting his body at risk, and I think that's because he thinks that he has to. I would add a running back for that reason alone.
Yeah, but they're not going to give up the draft capital for the running back rental. That's the problem right there. Like, it makes sense, but then again, you have to ask yourself the question, would Andy Reid really utilize that guy? Like, which position would bring you the most value back in return that you're going to get out on the field? And I do think it's a defensive tackle because we've seen the running backs come in midseason. Where the hell are they? You know, like LeSean McCoy and Le'Veon Bell have been those midseason running back additions, and then they don't utilize
but
them.
They were washed.
They no question.
That was a
no question.
Not
they
to
are.
Be Carrington and Rob, but that was right. That was
no,
rough.
But they were. But again, they didn't utilize them at all. I think you would get more value out of a player in return that's on the defensive line than you would get on the offense at this point in time. Because I do think one more big run stop, whatever I'm trying to say, is imperative for this team. And I know it's imperative for them. They've been working on it since, I know, during training camp of trying to get that extra defensive tackle in there. And now things are starting to kind of, you know, weed their way out. We're midway through October now, right? We're 2 weeks to Halloween. We're, you know, 3 weeks from the Overland Park election, so which means about 3.5 weeks from announcing the stadium. But you know what I'm saying, where we are in time, teams are starting to lose, and we're starting to kind of see a little bit of that separation right now. And so San Francisco, I mean, do they have anybody on the defensive line we can get for anybody? Because they need people.
They're not moving anybody.
Yeah, as I say, they need everything.
They're at Rent-A-Center.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Now, I think they're going to get really healthy this week. I think they're going to get Kittle back this week. I think they're going to get Purdy back this week. And Pearsall is probably going to come back. So they're going to get three big pieces back. But, you know, they're still kind of hanging around at 4-2. Lose to Tampa Bay this weekend, and Baker Mayfield showing that he's got the tenaciousness inside of him this year as well. Third best in MVP odds. Patrick Mahomes, number two. Josh Allen, depending on what he does tonight, is still the leader.
I think when you look at this – go ahead, Mac. I'm sorry.
I was just wanted to respond to you, Bob, about the running back. I will say they ran the ball 29 times last night.
Yeah.
Only 18 with the running backs, but they passed it 30. Like, they did have more of an even attack. We saw that the week before, too. Like, I think it's a little overstated what we say with Andy Reid about the running backs. Like, when was the last time he's had a good running back? He used it with Jamal Charles. He used it with Brian Westbrook.
Kareem
he used
Hunt.
It with Kareem Hunt, LeSean
but
McCoy.
That guy is not there right now. Like, that's somebody you'll have to either A, sign in free agency, which I'm not huge on the running back, but or draft. Like, that's like your first round running back. Now you've got him in March. Now you got him in April. Now you got him in May and June, and you can work throughout the entire offseason of implementing him into the system at this point. I just think you get a better player and get more value value on the defensive side.
Yeah, I get that. It's easier to insert. It's easier to insert someone.
It's so much easier to insert, right?
You could give him Gardner Minshew for Breece Hall.
Yeah, they need a quarterback.
You know what? I wouldn't hate that at all. I mean,
absolutely.
Because I'm
then you don't
the,
have to worry about Mahomes getting hurt running the ball anymore. It means he's not going to need a backup quarterback. I mean,
but if you're the Jets right now, are you letting Aaron Glenn make any moves? I mean, the only move I would make, like, guys, that guy looks totally lost on the sidelines. Totally lost, totally out of sorts, totally out over his skis. And I know I say this a lot. I'd be better than Aaron Glenn would be right now on the sidelines. I've never seen a coach just completely lost, has no idea what. You had negative 10 yards passing, and then you're yelling at the media after the game. How about you go screw off?
It's crazy. That looked great week one. Since then, it has been.
Was week one when he was strutting down the sidelines?
I don't know. That may have been
that
after that.
That was week two against Tampa.
Yeah, they looked okay, I guess in that game.
You said they looked good week one.
It was Pittsburgh. It was a shootout.
Oh, that's right.
It was 38-36 or something.
Yeah, Justin Fields was chucking around the yard.
He hasn't had that many yards combined since then.
Honestly, you might be right. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm right about that. I mean, but the negative 10 yesterday, the Jets have any defensive linemen that we can foist the seventh round pick and get some good defensive tackle back in return?
I still think you go talk to Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee's bad too. Cam Ward's starting to tire now.
And Jeffrey Simmons is, he was so good yesterday watching red zone and just watching him blow up that backfield.
He's one of the best.
And then just see their coach again blame Cam Ward in the press conference, like blamed his quarterback. I've got the audio saved on Twitter, but we can do that for like Tough Tuesdays. But yeah, blames Cam Ward.
Titans fans are turning on him. It's
on Cam Ward. Yeah, well, I mean, if you're going to run your mouth, though, you got to back it up. And he stunk yesterday.
He did. No, he did. It's just we know why he stinks, right?
Yes.
He's in a bad situation with a bad head coach.
But when are they? But if you believe in Cam Ward, okay, let's just collective you as an organization believe in Cam Ward, then you need to invest in Cam Ward and really get him with a good coach. You can't continue to run this thing because every day that goes by, he's losing more and more confidence. I was talking to a kid over the weekend that, you know, they're getting beat, and they're losing the love. They're losing their drive. They're like, what am I supposed to do? We're getting beat. And I'm like, look, man, you just got to kind of stick it out and continue to fight through and do what's best for you. But you don't want that to happen to Cam Ward where he loses his love and zest for the game because he's in such a bad situation where he just goes in there and just starts to mail it in. Like, they need to rectify that situation. It's not about them, you know, saving the season or anything like that. It's saving their number one pick at this point in time, who is completely lost. And it's becoming annoying right now for, I think, a lot of fans down in Tennessee.
Biggest concerns, rank them. Kicker, D-line, running backs.
It's for me, it's the kicker because...
yeah.
But that's tangible evidence right there. I can directly see how many points and wins that guy has cost us. I can't really tell on a defensive lineman or a running back, you know? But you can see the kicker. You can see every point and every mistake that he's leaving out there. I know what he's supposed to do. I don't know what a running back or a defensive lineman is supposed to do on every play, but I know what a kicker is supposed to do. Kick it through those yellow poles.
Yeah, I think the D-line would be number one as far as the concern because I don't see that getting better, but I'd still add a running back because of the domino effect that it'll have on Patrick Mahomes and his usage and his health. But yeah, the D-line's the number one concern. I'm still going to have hope in Harrison Butker. I don't know when that'll end in 2 weeks. Maybe I'll be like you, Bob, but I'm staying patient right now.
No, we stayed patient with Juwan Howard or Taylor.
Juwan Taylor, we
did. Juwan Howard called a timeout, even though he didn't have any left.
He's not coaching anywhere anymore, right? Like,
I don't think after his last scuffle.
Michigan got rid of him, and I think he pretty much just went back to television or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Michigan did get rid of him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
He is an assistant coach for the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, God. Oh,
perfect.
Nice.
That's where every loser goes, huh?
Hey, not Jock Vaughn.
Now he's back. KU. He got out of there fast.
Thanks for the time. I'm going to head back home.
What would you rank it, though, Dusty?
D-line, running back, kicker.
Yeah, all right. We're in the same kind of spot then.
I understand that there's a lot to be seen from Harrison Butker and a lot of concern there. But, I mean, there was really not a whole lot of pressure until mid to late third quarter. And all Collinsworth kept talking about in the first, you heard it, look at the push this offensive line is getting against. I mean, he's like, they're in the secondary pushing those lines. And they were running the ball. And then it was like later on in the game when those offensive linemen that were backups started to get fatigued, Then the defensive line started to push their way through there, and we saw Chris Jones come up big in the end of the game. We saw Karloftis adding pressure. We saw all these guys. Omenihu got a sack as well, so you get your Big Mac today if you want to get one. But the thing is like, I understand that Butker's flaws are evidently obvious and they're there, but you can dominate if you can get this defensive line to get more pressure and you can get the ball back in Mahomes' hand, because that's the one thing that was in my mind on that opening drive from Detroit, other than the fact that they scored three and the Chiefs still won. The fact is they had the ball for almost 10 minutes and Mahomes just sitting there chewing on his mouthpiece, waiting to get in the game, which then throws in immediately, okay, eagerness to score. We don't need to have an 8-minute drive now. We need to go down there and score and get it in there quickly. And they did that. And then unfortunately it was the missed extra point, which then is kind of the distraction in the background. But the D line is my number one issue, because there was just no pressure from those front four until at least the midway through the third quarter, at least in my opinion, from what I watched. And then it kind of clicked, but it was because of fatigue, I would say. But I also want to see more effective running. Now I know that what Pacheco was 4.3 last night and had about 4.7 in the week before. But look at the sample size. It's 12 for, you know, 51 or 12 for 42 or something like that. It's like, those are hard earned rushing yards that if you had a guy back there. And again, we've heard for 3 weeks, guys, now that Rashard Smith is going to get more action, and we're not seeing it.
Well, he got less last week. The last couple of weeks have been at it, but where would you have, what would you have replaced yesterday? That offense was just moving along. Like Rashard Smith, he just happened to be the odd guy out yesterday. Tyquan Thornton, he's happened to be the odd. There's going to be those guys every week with this offense because of how many weapons they have. I was happy with Pacheco. 12 carries, 4.3 yards a clip. I'll take that every day.
Yeah,
if you tell me every carry he's going to get over 4 yards per carry, I'm taking that every single day, you know, of the week. Couple of things. Are sacks down around the NFL? I mean, and I don't know what I'm comparing that to, but are sacks down around the NFL? I feel like now with every quarterback in the pistol formation and not under center, it is almost impossible to get to the quarterback unless things start to break down in the secondary, you know, receiver slips or something of that nature. I don't know. I'm asking because I don't know.
What would you say is a good sack number after 6 weeks?
I don't know. I don't know if they,
4.5?
You know, I don't know. I'm talking like in the NFL overall. I don't know if anybody's studying this. Have sacks gone down since we've seen almost every quarterback now in the pistol formation? I would imagine they probably have dropped a little bit like that.
The leader in sacks is Benito at Denver. He has 8. Then Young for the Rams, 7.5. And then it's your guy Burns at 7. Mm-hmm. Hutchinson with 6. Armstrong and Washington with 5, as well as the young kid out of Los Angeles. And then Sweat has 5. And then there's just a slew of guys with 4.5 sacks.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Miles Garrett has 4.
Yeah, I'd have to get some like advanced data to look at the total sack numbers, but it is interesting. I would like to look at that.
Because I wonder, are we critical of our guys? And then we look at the big picture, we step back and we realize, oh no, this is a thing that's going on in the league. Sacks are down because of everybody in the pistol. And if you saw how fast Patrick Mahomes got rid of the ball last night, if they ran that every single play, he wouldn't get sacked again this season. As soon as he got it, he threw it. Right? That's the nature that you're never going to get. It's like Peyton Manning back in, you know, 10 years ago when Tom Bailey was trying to get to him and he was getting rid of the ball in 1.5 seconds. You're never going to, like, 3 seconds is a long time, but even that's not a very long time. So I don't know if sack numbers are down. And also, too, with the defensive line, and I know I'm guilty of this, how much of our impression of the defensive line is based on the first drive? Can we eliminate the first drive from the way we view our defense now? Like, I'm sure there are advanced metrics that tell you how good this defense is after the first drive of the game. I really do feel like the first drive is Spags just saying, I'm just going with a base defense. We're going to see what they do. And then we'll figure it out after that. Because every game since he's been the defensive coordinator, that first drive is a march down the field. And we go, oh, here we go again.
Oh, no.
And then they put their foot in the ground. They give up 2 touchdowns the rest of the way to the best offense in the NFL.
You look up the matchup coming up next week against the Raiders. Putrid on offense. I mean, points, they're 29th. Rushing yards, they're 22nd. Passing yards, they're 18th. Total yards, they're 23rd. So defensive line should show up on Sunday.
Yep.
At noon. Now, their defense, not terrible. Their defense ranks 11th in total yards given up, 19th in passing yards. So that could be an advantage with Rashee Rice coming back into the clubhouse. Rushing yards, they're 10th. They give up 95 a game, but points, they give up 24.8. So they're giving up passing yards and passing touchdowns. So another secondary that's going to come in here and have Mahomes licking his chops, especially when you get number four back, which is interesting because when you bring number four back into the offense in Rashee Rice, do you think it's still committee? Or do you think there will be that shift where Mahomes is like, I got to let four eat? And maybe it's a one-week thing where it's like, hey, man, let's get your wheels going. Let's kick some tires. Let's see where you're at in some live action against a Raiders team that could be, you know, coming in for some attitude. So I look at that and I wonder to myself, like, will that have a tick in the system where it's been Juju for two, Travis for five, Hollywood for three, Worthy for, you know, three or four. And then there's Rashee Rice, which I believe that with his involvement in the offense, the obvious is on the table that somebody is going to get a minimal role. Probably Thornton, but I don't know if that's the case. Maybe it's a little bit of Xavier Worthy as he kind of gets himself back to being more and more healthy now that you can afford that with Rashee Rice. Maybe we see a lesser role of Xavier Worthy. Maybe I'm, you know, being hyperbolic with that as well, thinking that the ankle's not as healthy as I think that they're leaving it off to be. But again, you didn't have number four. Now you do. So I am interested to see where this offense goes because I think we all look at it right now and it's firing on all cylinders. And Mahomes and that offensive line are starting to gel together. He's not looking over his shoulder anymore. He's kind of three-step dropping it, finding his guy, checking different reads, and that offense is flowing. Rashee Rice is back in the building, and this offense should get substantially better.
Yeah, and I don't think you go into a game saying, okay, this is going to be a limited game for Thornton or Kelsey or anything like that. You go in with your game plan, and then you see what happens. A lot of it gets dictated, too, by what this defense is going to do. Like, if you're coordinating the Raiders this week, whoever that guy is, sorry, but you're trying to figure out who you take out. Who's the number one guy you take out on this offense right now? It's not easy. Like, we knew last night, where was St. Brown? I mean, how about the job that Trent McDuffie did taking Amara St. Brown out of that game last night? He had, what, seven catches? I don't remember any of them. I remember the big drop that
was
he had.
Was it 9 for 42?
I mean,
9 for 45,
it was a 5 yards a catch or something like that. Like, they eliminated that guy. He was a non-factor in that game. So who's that guy for the Chiefs? You walk into that Raider facility today and you got the whiteboard. Who's the number one name? And I'm asking both of you guys, who would you put up there as the number one name that we need to stop this guy and we're not going to let him beat us for the Chiefs?
Rashee Rice.
Yeah, it would be Rice.
It would be Rice for you. See, for me, it's Patrick Mahomes. And that's way
well,
I
fair.
Look at
yeah.
But I'm saying there's nobody else out there that I'm looking at. So you take Rashee Rice out of the game. He's been out for the last year and a half. I mean, they've been just fine with him. You take Worthy out of the game. Then you got a fresh Rice. You take Travis Kelce out of the game. You got Juju Smith-Schuster. Like, there's not that easy answer right now for these defensive coordinators to look at this team and go, all right, if we take St. Brown out of the game, or if we take Emeka Abuka out of the game, or if we take, you know, Jamar Chase out of the game. Like, we don't have that true number one guy that you're going to take out of the game. And if you choose to take somebody out of the game, we got eight other people that can go out there and physically beat you. It's a mismatch, and it's an offense made in heaven right now for the Chiefs.
It's a damn good problem to have.
Oh, God, it is.
When you have those sort of things. Also a big night for Jalen Moore. Still no information on Josh Simmons. We'll get more of that as the day goes on.
Well,
I'm
Leo
sure
Chanel dedicated the game to him last night. So
it's probably something severely emotional, would be my guess. Mm-hmm. Chiefs keeping it tight like a pickle jar.
They really are. They are.
Which,
yeah.
Respect. Mm-hmm. It's none of our business
personal.
Until it becomes our business. But Jalen Moore, man, hey, it's the morning of a game. Here you go. I saw a good text earlier in the show. It says, you know, honestly, as a person, you know, I'd probably do my job better if I was put in that situation of like, oh, hey, we're going to go with you today. Like, imagine, you know, I don't know, being like a substitute teacher and you think you got Monday off and it's like, oh, actually, you're going to go teach this class today. It's like, okay, I got to put everything together, get folks. You're going to get more folks. I don't know if that's the case. Obviously, some people would like to know 3 or 4 days out in advance, hey, you're going to be doing this on this day. But what a hell of a performance from Jalen. I mean, that's probably my game ball last night.
Oh, hell yes.
I know we'll probably have Instagram videos coming out later on today of who was your MVP of last night's Chiefs game. I would assume they should all unanimously be probably Jalen Moore because of what he did last night and the situation mm-hmm. he was given. And, you know, they always say that stupid cliche, next man up. That's exactly the definition of what a next man up is.
I mean, that was a next man up times 10. I mean, I mean that guy was just awesome last night. And so here's the thing. If you want to start Juwan Taylor on the bench You will next year because Jalen Moore's your right tackle going forward. And he continues to play like this. This cat may, they may rip up that contract and just say, you want to stay forever and pair yourself with Josh Simmons on each side? Because, I mean, Jalen Moore was just dynamic last night. I loved everything that I saw out of that guy. I mean, that was just a hell of an effort against Aiden Hutchinson, too. It wasn't like he was going against a nobody. And you mentioned the MVP. I actually wrote in my notes, I would give Aiden Hutchinson a little bit of the MVP award last night for having that shot against Patrick Mahomes that pretty much sealed the game and ended things for Detroit last night.
Coming up on the other side, we'll play a receipt from this past week that somebody's got to cash. And the other thing is the brioche of the weekend here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Tune in to hear Mitch Holthus every Friday at 7:20 right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Third down and goal to go at the 3-yard line. Pacheco motioning left. Mahomes in the pocket, darts it near side, caught, touchdown! Kansas City, Hollywood Brown is having a night. And the Chiefs answer a touchdown with a touchdown to go up 26-17, 9:30 to go in the game.
Last night wasn't about the Redwood, it was about Hollywood. Hey-o! Chiefs victorious last night, 30-17.
I told Jen to write a song about me.
Oh.
I gave her lyrics and everything.
She's probably still putting it together. She's pretty professional about it.
She is probably doing a good job, yeah. Weeping Willow is my man.
It was nice to see the Chiefs pull away from victory last night.
I think it's what you said, the pullout game. I mean, they don't never. I don't know what I'm saying right there.
What?
A solid game there from the Chiefs. Don't forget, there's still people out there that are always going to hate you.
November 2nd.
We're going to realize the Chiefs ain't that good this weekend. They're going to realize that.
And the person
they keep
that's
holding out
be...
hope that this Chiefs team is going, oh, they're fine. They're going to get right. All right. You keep hoping.
Mm-hmm. But the person that's going to be most upset
I know what's
is
coming
Smalls.
Into Kansas City. I know. And her name ain't Kitty. I know it is a kitty, but her name ain't Kitty. It's the Detroit Lions. All right. See how this, we're going to see how this going to go.
This kitty bites kneecaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who the
hell
is that?
This is going to be a good old fashioned Smalls. This
you think
a,
so?
Oh, this is going to be a good old fashioned.
BTA?
I mean,
BTA?
And it can be painful. Oh. I mean, painful BTA, like physical, make hurt you BTA.
Motown muscle?
Yeah, this is, I'm just saying, they scored 161 points in the last four games.
17 last night?
17.
So just let's
gosh,
make sure.
We really overreacted after week one, didn't we?
Top five in explosive plays.
Zero last
defense, time. Top 10 in yards, top 5 in takeaways.
Cooked.
That's what the Kansas City Chiefs got in store.
The Lions are cruising.
Mm-hmm. Cruising out of Kansas City as losers.
Who was that?
No idea. I sent it to Matt because I heard it last night. I was like, this guy sucks.
I mean, who was that? I mean, you couldn't have been more wrong. As right as Mac was in the script earlier, and he nailed literally everything,
mm-hmm.
That crew got everything wrong.
And then trying to throw shots at T. Swift. This was Brian Branch after the game in the locker room. Listen for the moans. It's not me in the background.
In between the play, and refs don't catch it. Like, they be trying to bully me out there. I should have never did it. We beat ourselves, honestly.
What happened between the play? What are you referring to?
I got blocked in the back illegally, and it was running the ref. The ref didn't do anything. And just stuff like that. And that's, I could have got hurt off of that. But it still, I still shouldn't have done that, so.
Who's doing that?
I have no idea, dude.
Is that some reporter that's not buying it, or is it some reporter that's out of shape and ran down there and was like all
no,
disheveled,
they make
right?
Stand outside the locker.
Right? That guy ran down or something and was like all disheveled, dropping his bag everywhere. Like, we've all seen that guy cover games before. That guy's a mess, right? And he's like, sir, we don't need
dude,
the heavy
stop.
Breathing.
There are
okay?
Half naked men in this locker room.
And what do you, I mean, that guy was just like, yeah. I mean, it's like it was
like the kid from Malcolm in the Middle trying to talk, and then he followed me after school.
But I like to take the stairs.
This comes from Matt McMullen. Before we get to our British of the weekend, the Chiefs are just one of two teams to feature four players with 220 plus receiving yards this year. Travis Kelce, 321. Hollywood Brown, 302. Tyquan Thornton, 272. And Juju Smith-Schuster, 225. By the way, number four comes back to the offense. But hey, that's all right. Let's get to the brioche of the weekend.
Brioche of the weekend.
Big brioche guy.
Love that. Yeah. Good take.
It was 75. That does kind of sound like Dusty's moan.
No, that's not. No. I want to know who it was. Do we know? Are you not telling me? Do we know?
No, I don't know. I would tell you. I don't know. Also, that guy talking trash before was Chris Canty.
Oh, ESPN.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Chris can't make a good take.
Chris doesn't. Chris can't. Wait, how can we say that?
Yeah, come on, you got this. Help me out.
Chris.
Today, Junior.
Chris can't have a good take, can't he? I'm trying to get like a candy at the end.
Chris, can't he believe his take this morning? Brioche of the Week is presented by the Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. Vote for the high school football game of the week at PrepsKC.com. And each week, those wonderful people at Sheet Metal Workers will give $750 to both teams' boosters club. We'll announce the winning game every Friday morning. Mac, little Fesco this weekend, were you?
A little bit of Fesco action.
Hell of a photo on X.
Yeah, fantastically
thighs,
done.
Yeah. Calves, smile, hair.
Don't read the comments because there were idiots out there. I started to read the comments. I'm like, you guys suck.
Oh, I don't care. It's funny, though.
It was great.
It's just, is that Bob's daughter? You know, it's like, can't thank
cool.
you. You wish you had these locks, bro. No, man, I went.
Yeah, that's a bald guy wearing his comic book shirt in his mom's basement eating meatloaf.
Oh, I sent Maloney a picture yesterday. I was wearing my Maloney's red shirt for the cheese. And my hair, obviously, is so long right now. I've got like a Corey Matthews fro.
Yeah.
He goes, dude, you really do have some hair. I'm like, flex! Stuff mushrooms!
Yeah.
He loves mushrooms.
Yes.
Beer.
Yes.
Beer.
Sand trap pizza and
I mean, that song could have been Maloney instead of Binkley. He loves beer, chewing tobacco, stuffed mushrooms, and
look at this cabbage, dude. I don't even know what to do anymore.
No, I was pumpkin picking and getting cider, baby, over in Lewisburg.
I mean, they're
great.
2-3. You don't need to be going down there at this point in time.
That was extreme measures.
Yeah, like you really enacted the extreme measures.
The old pumpkin donors.
But it was apple donors? Donuts. Yeah, tried one of their hard ciders. Hadn't done that. It was good.
Oh, I didn't know they had hard cider.
I didn't know
down
they did either. Yeah,
you got to go back.
Yeah, they got a bunch of flavored wines down there. They have my picture up or anything?
I don't think so. But it was good. Yeah, saw goats, saw the chickens. Did
you
saw
Mahomes was there? You said
yeah, Mahomes was right there. Cool.
Mahomes and Kelsey were out there.
Did you play in the corn pit?
No, I didn't.
Did you like launch pumpkins at anything?
They had a bunch of like rubber footballs. Then they had the.
Did
I don't
you have
know,
your gloves?
I didn't bring my gloves. I couldn't efficiently run the routes that I wanted to. But yeah, I was chucking some rub. It was good.
Chucking some rub. Okay, that would have been my brioche of the weekend. Mine goes to the Seattle Mariners and Humpy. That's right. The Mariners do a salmon run every game, and one fish, Humpy, has never won. Well, I don't know what you guys are doing. I'm a loser, so I watched that entire game Friday. I had a good outside venue, a birthday party. They had like a music act out there as well. Good people out there, John and Allison. Thanks for the invite, Lauren as well. And somebody goes in and goes, can we turn this baseball game on? And I was like, oh, yeah, let's do that. And it goes to the 15th inning. Well, before they won and walked it off, they had one more salmon race, and Humpy got the final win. The first win he's ever had. The Mariners walk it off as they win last night as well. They're up 1-0 on the Toronto Blue Jays. If anybody's watching, you know that I am.
What do you think the numbers are going to be for this series?
Not great.
Good, right?
Not great.
You got the Dodgers and Brewers, which is intriguing. Yeah. It'd be better if it was Cubs.
Right. It'll be down massively from last year. But again, shout out to Humpy, my brioche of the weekend, the salmon that won the race for the first time, and then the Seattle Mariners walk it off.
That's
afterwards.
Outstanding. I like that. I like that as well.
Mascots matter.
They really do. I'll tell you, my brioche of the weekend, going to give it out to the folks over there in Tongi for hosting the Tongi Bayshore football game, right? This is an 8-mile rivalry, guys. And this is where, to me, I'm going to give the brioche of the weekend, but I'm also going to take a shot as well. This rivalry has been going on for like 100 years, and this is where adults ruin things for kids and ruin things that are good. They're stopping this game for like the next 15 to 20 years because Bayshore's getting too big or whatever, and they're outgrowing it, and so they're moving on or whatever the case may be. That Bayshore-Tongi game was packed. It was awesome. Yeah, our guy Roman had a big touchdown, then got a penalty for taunting the crowd because he used to play at Tongi.
That's awesome.
Now he's at Bayshore. It was perfect. Let's go. Great. Fun game. The whole nine yards. But like rivalry games like that, we're losing that in sports. Like, take a lesson from what happened in college sports, guys. Since that Big 12 day of collapse at the Intercontinental Hotel back in 2011, college sports hasn't been the same since. We've lost all these rivalries, and that's what high school sports is all about. You know, you love the rivalries, regardless of where you are as a school, regardless of how big you are or how small you are, you still have those rivalries. They need to make these rivalry games play all the time. It's an 8-mile deal. Make it Thanksgiving morning every year where those two schools can get together. And so I think it's a shame that you're losing a rivalry like that, but it was just so cool to be out there, small town USA, watching that high school game. It was really great. Like, the whole town's out there.
That is sick.
Tongi's a fun place to go watch a game. It's right in the middle of the neighborhood.
The actual split.
Yeah, I did. I sent you a picture of the split. Old guy in the crowd saying, see, there's the Tongi split right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know that. But it's a ridge out there now. And so you can see it.
Hey, Bob, my name's Ryan. I work at the cider mill. Come and I'll give you samples of our hard cider. The hard cider has been out there for 2 years now. And this year is a wine flavor.
Oh, hey. Wow, see, I put that place on the map.
Be like Ryan. You can do something nice for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy, stay happy for a Victory Monday. It's Cody Golden Drew coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.